Welcome to Season 5 of the Leadership Educator Podcast, your source for knowledge and expertise in facilitating leadership education, training, and development. Interested in keeping up with the latest conversations across the leadership discipline? Want to add more to your resource toolbox with practical strategies for teaching, learning, and program design without changing your routine? This is the podcast for you. If you haven't done so already, please hit subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Well, hello and welcome to the Leadership Educator Podcast. I'm Dan Jenkins, Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I am Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University, and we are both excited for today's episode of the podcast. We are joined today by Dr. Cynthia Cherry, President of the International Leadership Association. Cyn, welcome to the show.
Lauren and Dan, it's a pleasure to be here. Both of you are such engaged and wonderful members of the ILA. How could I not say yes to this podcast?
Yes, Cyn, you can come for every episode.
Yeah, we are super excited to have you on with us today as we look forward towards our season of looking at leadership education on a global scale. And we're going to be just chatting with so many different individuals that are in different spaces and places, teaching leadership, and it varies so considerably. And one of the great things about the International Leadership Association is that it brings these individuals together for dialogue, for discussion, for networking, for to produce knowledge. And it's just a real joy to have you on. And I think about, my first ILA conference back in, this was 2010 in Boston. And that's where I got the itch for not only coming back, but for volunteering. And some folks really got me engaged. I wasn't able to go to the conference in London, which is the only one I've missed since then, the next year because of some funding as a grad student. But 2012 and off, I haven't missed one since. And that was the year where I got, do I want to say hoodwinked? I'll say I got empowered, motivated, influenced by Matt Salchik and Rob McManus and some folks there that were running the Leadership Education Member Interest Group. And they encouraged me to run for the chairperson role. And I think it was the next conference where I got a chance to finally meet you and interact with you because you had invited all the volunteers to some type of like pre-conference reception, and which was always very generous. And it was just a great opportunity to meet board members and to meet you. And we had some very, very interesting conversations around. We were talking about worst case scenarios of things going on airplanes. And I don't know if you're going to remember this or not, but I remember you sharing a story about, and this doesn't have a happy ending, but you made it funny. I think someone that boarded the plane did not wasn't able to continue their flight. There was an unfortunate mishap on that flight. The person just didn't wake up. But we were talking about, I think you won the battle of the most interesting things that had happened on an airplane. And we were able to bring that conversation to something much more humorous and much more happy. But there was just a lot of very, very funny discussions. And it was just such an interesting group of folks that were talking about flights they had in Asia and going across, I think, every ocean on the planet. And it was just really, really funny and interesting. Although, again, a very odd topic so that we somehow find ourselves chatting about. But in any case, so I'd be curious, while many of our listeners are familiar with, and many are, as we know, are members of the International Leadership Association, we'd love if you would just share a little bit about your background prior to getting involved with the ILA and kind of what brought you to kind of rise up into the level of the organization that you're in today.
Well, Dan, it's interesting, and you brought up that I had to stop and think about when you, oh, that's right. And I remember we were all talking and it was this eclectic group, but when you fly a lot, you always have stories. Mm-hmm. So we all have stories in terms of flying. And I think for me, the good fortune about being with the ILA from its inception was that I have these wonderful experiences and have been so fortunate to be with educators and leadership scholars around the world who are committed and passionate about the study and the practice and the teaching of leadership. I got started in the ILA from its very inception before it was the ILA, and it was through a grant from the Kellogg Leadership Foundation, from the Kellogg Foundation, where there was a grant that was given to the James McGregor Burns Academy of Leadership at the University of Maryland. And Georgia Sorensen and Jim Burns were the two key leaders, co-leaders of the Academy, and Lorraine Matusak, who was at the Kellogg Foundation, is the one who supported this leadership movement, I would call it, with the funding from Kellogg, along with the other colleagues at Kellogg. But she was the main initiator of this. And so I was invited to join, and there were different groups. There was a group on followership, a group on transformational leadership, and a group on ethics. And I distinctly remember having to interview with Ed Hollander, to have a conversation with Ed, to talk about background and experiences to be a part of this group. And it was about 40 people. And from that three-year period, out of that, at the end of the grant, came this need to continue to convene and connect. And from that, the ILA was started. And it started from the very beginning of being at this merge of theory and practice and being international. So I have to give credit to Georgia. And at that point, Barbara Kellerman was the first executive director, and Jim Burns, for making it both international and across theory and practice. So I've been involved with it from the very beginning, but I grew up in higher education. I have carried faculty appointments and full-time administrative appointments at the University of Southern California, at Tulane University, and at Princeton University, where my administrative work, my student affairs work, and my leadership work always was there. I wouldn't say in parallel, I'd say woven together in some very profound ways that complemented each other.
I love hearing that story about being with ILA from its inception and really watching the organization grow. I think I love how you talk too about how the international piece was in it from the start, even though it was based here, it was in it from the beginning. Can you, so our theme this season is really focused on kind of what do we need to know? What do leadership educators want to know? What's important outside of the U.S.? We've toggled between the two for a long time, but this season is solely dedicated on that global perspective. And, as someone who spent quite a bit of time in that area, just meaning that, like we said, you've watched ILA grow almost around you, which is such a beautiful experience. What have you noticed in research and in practice, but specifically in other places? What are some of the important things that have come up for you?
I think first, this is such an important topic that you are exploring on this year in your podcast series. So I applaud you for expanding your own global mindset and expanding the global mindset of all of your listeners, because this is critical in terms of how we think about leadership, both on a personal level and our local community level, but also globally. And many of you have heard me speak about how they're interconnected, right? You cannot think about your leadership and practice leadership at a local level without thinking about it globally. And you can't practice global leadership without thinking about it locally. So there is this interconnectivity and a blending and an interdependence that is in everything that we do today, because our world is so interdependent on that point. So I applaud your efforts to do this and thinking about it differently. You may know that the ILA does not profess to any one definition of leadership, and that is very intentional. And we get pushback sometimes, but it's intentional because we embrace diverse perspectives of leadership, and we embrace the difference and the common intersecting points of leadership around the globe, right? Because how you define leadership in different parts of the world is very different. And we want to embrace the difference, because it is in the other that we learn more about the individual, but it's also how we learn about our commonalities in that sense. So thinking about leadership around the world and the globe, I hope you have somebody like Mickey Hagano, who is in Japan and who has done a lot of amazing work in this area. I hope you bring to the forefront in your podcast some of our Chinese researchers, where there is some amazing work that's taking place right now that is very on the cutting edge. I hope you have the opportunity of talking with John Antonakis at the University of Lausanne, who is one of the leading scholars, was born in South Africa, but has spent most of his time in Switzerland and has done some amazing research, and as of late, around big data. And that's an area that crosses over all areas. And then there are some others, Keith Grint, I hope from, who is an ILA fellow, but a great researcher and writer and a wonderful person to interview. He'll keep you on your toes the entire time. He's brilliant, but he has a different perspective and he brings history into his, he's a historian, and he brings that into his work. So thinking about it from the Middle East, very different. I hope you interview a number of our, or an educator from Afghanistan and the work that they have gone through in building to this point. But there are so many leadership lessons taking place right now. So I applaud what you're doing. This is just phenomenal.
Thank you. And it feels so meaningful that we're having you as like our first official guest of the season, because all of those people that you listed, you know, some of them we are familiar with and some of them we're not. And we're like writing it down, jotting it down, like, yeah, let's go read some of that. Like the big data conversation is so interesting. So on in teaching, I'm in the Department of Public Relations. And so leadership at Temple is in education, business, and communication. And that big data conversation is something that's happening in the public relations area. And so I'd love to be able to meld all of that together to share that information with my students, because you're right, it's something that is so crucial and so important, and they're gonna need that down the line. One of the things, but I love that you said that it's important not only to center like local but also global, because we are increasingly more connected in our spaces, as well as you can see all of those. All of the people that you're referencing, like you can see the diversity through the podcasts that are on the website, through the articles that are posted, even thinking about the locations of the events that you have. And so it's nice that, you know, of course we want it in our mission statements, but I think to me, it was super visible when I just was looking through ILA and just trying to get an understanding about the organization. And so I love that you vocalized that and you're now kind of saying, no, we are very intentional about reaching as many people as we can.
To follow up on that, I mean, I think that's really been one of the great things that I've seen the association really, really just thrive on, particularly in the last 5 to 7 years, this mission of, and it is the mission of bringing people together to talk about leadership and all the different leadership as the umbrella for all the different sub-disciplines and areas. And obviously the one that Lauren and I gravitate towards most is leadership education. And you know, you mentioned Mickey Higano, because of the volunteer work that I had done and some of the other folks that I mentioned, we had put on a pre-conference session on leadership education. I think it was like developing leadership programs or curriculum or something like that. First pre-conference session I had ever done. It would have been the 2013 conference in Montreal. And Mickey was one of the participants. And he stopped me afterward. And again, I never met this person except the fact that he had registered for the pre-conference session. And he reached out to me afterward. He said, hey, you know, we are bringing people from the United States to come and speak at this conference we have just started putting on about leadership education in Japan. Would you be interested maybe in, you know, in joining us sometime? And I thought, wow, this would be amazing. I've never been to Japan, you know, and I don't know anything about this person, but yes, let's continue the conversation. Months went by and I didn't think, I thought, well, I guess that came and went. And then out of the blue, I got a Facebook message from Mickey. And he says, hey, are you still interested in doing this? Because we'd like to get everything moving. And I said, sure, can we move this over to email? And I wrote him email, and then he messaged me back on Facebook Messenger and said, so we're going to, and I said, all right, you know what, however we're going to figure this out. We communicate differently across the globe, and a Facebook Messenger is the way that we're going to do this. That's going to be awesome. And he was just such a generous host, and I got to participate and be a part of this conference. And I want to say it would have been July of 2014. And Mickey and I are still close. In fact, you talk about all these things of bringing folks together. We went to a Cubs game during an ALE conference. I want to say 2018, it was in Chicago, maybe 2019, me, him, and Tony Andonora, who we've had on the podcast before. But it is just where we run into each other again, and the conversations that we continue to have. In fact, I've worked with Mickey again on the Global Task Force for the Committee on the Advancement of Leadership Programs, which I definitely want to ask you about a little bit later in the podcast. But I'm curious, like, what did bringing people together mean for the ILA, like this last year in particular, as we think about the pandemic and some of the virtual meetings? You know, we just came off of Leadership Education Academy, or LEA, being virtual for the first time. Like, what did that mean for the ILA, and how do you see it looking moving forward?
You know, it's I'm going to go back to something you said that I think is so important for us to talk about, and that's around when we have these wonderful experiences, like going to Japan and sharing ideas. The beauty of those, at least for me, and I think this is the same for you, Dan, and for you, Lauren, is I learn so much more because I get an inside view, a personal view, if you will, of another culture and how they are thinking about leadership and researching it and teaching it. So in going to Beijing with Gama Perucci and meeting with the individuals that were both communications, newspaper, public relations folks, Lauren, and educators and business. And it was, how do we further leadership in our society, right? I learned more from that engagement and have gone back a number of times. The same in Japan and the same in South Africa and Botswana. I learned so much in terms of leadership through a different lens that I wish everybody could experience. Because that's the part of the different ways of coming together. The Right Honorable Kim Campbell, I think, it talked about how the ILA has the panache of convening the conveners. And I always thought that was a powerful piece, because we do bring together those individuals who are passionate about this work, but we convene all of those who go out and have that multiplier impact, right? So the convening the conveners. And Ron Heifetz talks about our work as the pipeline, the leadership pipeline. And that's the work that you're doing. The Leadership Education Academy, the LEA, this year had to model one of many things, but the pedagogy was so important. And to do it online, as hard as it is, and I applaud, again, all of you for doing this, it was so important to do, because it is what educators had to do around the globe, was to go virtual and to teach online. And I don't know about you, Dan and Lauren, but I find teaching online 5 times harder than in person. Some people find it easier. I personally find it much difficult, but it's so important to blend different methods and formats. So Leah is important. And I'll tell you a couple of the things that I love about what the Academy does is it teaches about various leadership theories in a really wonderful way of how you present it, rather than in a very passive approach of teaching. You really engage everybody. and you model it, right? And it's the same thing around looking at various pedagogies. So I think Leah is a wonderful example of leadership education that needs to continue to expand and broaden.
I love that you share that. So as a participant of Leah, I actually feel like I'm now a better teacher, like online. And it's simply because I've been in the seat of trying to learn leadership from a core of talented faculty members. And so just keeping in mind kind of my experience, it helps me to think about and put myself in the shoes of the students that I'm teaching. And I agree online teaching is hard. And I think it just takes a very different skill set, as well as you have to add the layer of the global health pandemic, the issues we're having with politics, the issues we're having with racism, the economic issues that are coming in. And I think that is impacting us more than anything else that we can experience. And we're all kind of new to this. So we can't even look to each other to kind of, there's no one that has experience with all of that at the same time. So we can't even look to that, look to others for guidance. But I will say, I was also able to give my students feedback on how you build relationships online. My students say, you can't make friends online. And I'm like, nope, me and my LEA group, we've had a couple of meetings already because we had similar problems that we needed help to solve. So it gives me the confidence to say to my students, like, this, we can do this. It can be done. Let me share my experience to give you a little bit of insight.
And I think what's happened over this last year and a half is that technology has a way of helping to fill some gaps. And so it allowed all of us to continue to teach in different ways, to educate, right? To get information, to push information out, and also to gather information in very different ways. And I don't think one supersedes the other, but I think what we have discovered is we've expanded our portfolio of ways to educate and ways to teach. And the challenge moving forward, at least one that we're talking about in the ILA, is when do you use which format for what purpose? All right, what's the outcome? So I think there's that, that's one of the main questions as we move forward. We're always going to blend these different types of teaching tools, but what's best at what time? And I know with Leah, Dan, you're exploring that as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know that as I'm transitioning off of being one of the co-chairs, which is kind of bittersweet. I know when Corey did it previously after 2019, we always joke that we want to be facilitators forever, whether we're out there on walkers or what have you, because it's, something that we, that we birthed together and that we just have so much pride on. And we, in fact, just got some of the evaluation and assessment information back from participants that, and I was very humbled when Lauren said, I'm signing up. I think you're one of the first people to sign up, Lauren, when registration went live. And I'm so glad that you had an opportunity to learn from our team, which is just such an amazing group of people from all over the world that we have the opportunity to work with. And yeah, next year, I mean, now we have this virtual curriculum it's in the books. We could do it again, but we, like every other event, people want to be in person. And so we are looking ahead to next summer, doing that in person. And hopefully that goes off exactly how it's planned. But now we have a very, very solid contingency plan, and the evaluation information that we've got, I mean, it went off extremely well. I mean, folks at best, we are, and I say this, with as much humility as I possibly can, like we've been very, very fortunate of having a history of folks saying this is one of the best, if not the best, professional development experience they've ever, experienced. Through ILA's reach to get that out to folks, and then the team of leadership educators that put that on, and now they added the best virtual professional development experience. I mean, we, having this great group of educators and student affairs professionals to come together and who do so much work on pedagogy. I mean, we had to really practice what we preach and to model that in the strongest way possible, because it's not only about delivering the content, but it's about It's a very much a train the trainer type of approach. And through the partnership with ILA, I think we had folks from about 12 different countries and 5 different continents. So not only was our team diverse, but the participants were diverse. And some of the conversations we were able to have in the breakouts and some of the affinity groups where we break down into smaller, more, you know, focused groups of individuals was just out of this world, just amazing. And so we're looking forward to seeing how that continues to evolve over the next few years. And I do want to say, since you mentioned Mickey Higano again, yes, we are planning on having him on the podcast. I think I forgot to say that earlier when I was sharing the story, but yes, he's definitely somebody that we've scheduled and are looking forward to that conversation. You know, one of the last things I wanted to make sure that we talked about. So we recently released, and by we, I feel as it's a we, because I, you know, was part of the group that worked on this and was very humbled to get the invitation from y'all to participate. So the General Principles for Leadership Programs, which was developed by the General Principles Task Force, who are all members of the Global Committee for the Advancement of Leadership Programs. So can you speak a little bit about, like, what did this initiative mean for the ILA, and why is it so important to bring together, you know, such a globally diverse committee to work on this?
Absolutely. And, you know, our work continues and it's ongoing.
Right, right.
But I'd say it's important for us as a profession and those who teach leadership to look at what we would call the guiding standards, the guidelines for leadership programs around the globe. And there was some brilliant work that was done prior to the task force that the task force built on. I think that's the power of really good work in professional associations, is that there was an initial report that was done around guiding questions that academic programs that they can use when they establish leadership programs. Then there was another paper that looked at a white paper that looked at, should we do standards or accreditation? What is the association ready to do? And we took those two, and at the right time, Mike Carty, the board chair, and myself appointed this task force to look at the guiding standards for academic programs. For two reasons. One was in the development of new programs, what should it entail? And then the second piece was, once you have this program in place and your outcomes, how do you measure against that? And then to use that format to continue to improve and further the work in those academic programs. Both curricular and co-curricular. When I define academic programs, to me, they're curricular and co-curricular programs on leadership. But to do that and to use it in multiple ways, it could be that you're getting ready to work on accreditation. It could be, and this can be used for that. It could be you're starting a whole new leadership program and this could be helpful, or you're coming in and you want to bring consultants in to assess where you are. So we wanted to have, again, a format and parameters that fit the context. So Dan, you know that this has in this format around cultural context. That context is important, but so is pedagogy and so are outcomes, right? And so those are some of the key areas. But one of the other beautiful pieces that came out of the task force were general leadership guidelines, right? These general leadership principles that are powerful, that transcend academic programs and go across all sectors. So we're going to take that material and that information, and we're going to now focus around best in class for business, right? But we also want to continue to look at the leadership principles and test those globally, to make sure that they really do represent global principles. And one of the things that was very important in this task force was that it represented educators from around the globe. And as good as the other two committees were that did some of the valuable good work on the front end, they were more North American based. And at that time, that's what worked. But we intentionally made this a very global task force of educators. And Dan, you mentioned that in terms of the group, and it was a wonderful group. So we're going to be continuing that work and furthering it this next year.
I think for sure the being able to bounce the ideas off of one another, and as you mentioned earlier on, the ILA doesn't have one specific definition of leadership, and the conversations that we had around that debate or that understanding, you know, definitely kind of streamed into our conversations around not having one set definition of leadership education and understanding the diversity and importance and the uniqueness of context and how, you know, one leadership program is going to focus differently based on cultural understandings of leadership. It could be the area of a particular country where the leadership program is being offered, or whether it's in student affairs or academic affairs. I mean, so many of those variables came into our topics of conversation. And because of the way that Sadhna and Gama facilitated the task force meetings, we were able to have some very, very healthy debates and dialogues and smaller groups that really, I guess, empowered us to kind of check ourselves on certain things. And I really, just really appreciated not only, you know, again, being a part of the group, but being able to learn so much from my colleagues in leadership education around the globe. And we're just very, very excited about what was produced and all the work that went into that. Yeah. And I'm really, really curious to see, you know, how will it be used? And I hope that the ILA provides some forums for using the document, for healthy debate and evolution around the document, because I think that, like the guiding questions before, which you mentioned, it takes some time in my experience to kind of get the information out there so people understand, well, what is this document? What does it do? What's its purpose? How can we then use it to, as you mentioned, to evaluate a program, to start a new program? And definitely reflecting back on the guiding questions, while it was nobody's ill intent that it was a highly North American focused or membership of the committee that worked on that original document, the ILA was very intentional with making sure that this group was diverse globally, and it definitely shines through in the paper and in the resource that's now there. So yeah, thank you again for sharing some more information on that, and we'll definitely put the link to the paper in the show notes.
Well, we're going to do another conversation as your task force so adeptly stated in your final report. This is a living document, right? So it needs to continue to develop and grow, keeping its strong bones, but continuing to develop so that it has integrity of time and relevance and content and context.
Thank you for sharing that. And I love that you're kind of modeling what we talk about in terms of good practices. Like the more we know, the better we do. And so it's appreciating where people were at that time when they had those conversations and acknowledging the changes in all of our spaces that are happening. So we have covered some really great topics today. And we appreciate your insight into global leadership. I wish we had 3 more hours to ask some more questions, but we have to keep it short so that our podcasters, our listeners, aren't getting 4-hour long episodes. But is there anything else that maybe you feel is important to share in the space and maybe we didn't ask you about, like something that kind of, I would love to share this with this group?
There's 2 things. Thank you, Lauren, and for that question. I think one is the importance of educators and education around leadership and leadership development. And for us to continue to expand our definition of how we think about education and how we think about educators in this field. And by that, I mean for us to give each other the room and the space to be in multiple roles at the same time. So I just want to leave it at that point. The other is to share one other major initiative the ILA is working on. There are many initiatives, right? Our specialized events, the global conference, the publications, General Principles Task Force, which will now become a standing committee of the ILA, so it lives long term. The other is the Global Leadership Initiative, which has brought together leadership scholars and global leaders to focus on the present and the future thinking and teaching and practice around global leadership. So it's the one where Right Honorable Kim Campbell has chaired it, and former Prime Minister George Papandreou and Lord John Alderdice, along with some of our scholars like Gil Hickman and Ronnie Heifetz and many others. Kakashian Basu from Pakistan is a part of this, are thinking about leadership globally, and it's now evolving into a series of global leadership roundtables in different parts of the world. So stay tuned. And I'm actually just promoting doing a totally separate podcast on this in the future. But it's exciting work that is engaging many folks. We are presently working with Yale University and the Yale World Fellows, who are all members of the ILA, who are developing case scenarios to present to global leadership scholars like Mark Mendenhall and Sonia and Ellen Bird and a number of many, many others, Michael Unseem from Penn, to look at global leadership through another lens and a different lens and a present lens. So I'm very excited about this project, this initiative, much like we are around the Leadership General Principles Project and so many of the initiatives that the ILA is doing. I'm really excited to see both of you at the 2021 Global Conference, either inside in Geneva or online. Our high flex model is one that I think we're going to see use of. It's a different, and Dan, it has some ways of thinking about pedagogy differently, right? How do you use both in their own unique ways? So we'll see. I'm going to really appreciate the feedback that we receive from you and our other ILA members about this high flex model in the future. So thank you for the opportunity to do this. And it's always a joy to talk with both of you.
You're welcome, Sen. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so grateful for your time and sharing some of the exciting things that the association is up to and your leadership of the association. And definitely want to wish you and the ILA the best of luck this year, and definitely looking forward to the global conference. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Leadership Educator Podcast. Remember, you can download all our episodes on all available podcast platforms. And when you go, please make sure you rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.
That's right, Lauren. We also invite you to interact with us on Twitter at Lead Educator Pod. That's LEADEDUCATORPOD. And on LinkedIn by searching for the Leadership Educator Podcast. You can also follow us on LinkedIn by name. And on Twitter, I'm at Dr_Leadership. And Lauren is at MRSLAURJB. That's Miss Laura JB.
We'd like to thank the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia. The support was facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, William S. Morris Chair in News Strategy and Management.
And a wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and associate professor and chair of jazz studies, now at the University of South Carolina. You can check him out at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thank you so much for sharing your musical genius with our listeners.
During the season, you will hear episodes featuring International Leadership Association members working globally to drive leadership education. Visit ilaglobalnetwork.org/podcast for more information and to join the association.
And finally, this podcast would not be possible without our chief partner, the Association of Leadership Educators. Please check out the ALE and all it has to offer at leadershipeducators.org. We hope you will listen to our next episode wherever you get your podcasts.